Hi, I'm Anthony Brabazon.
And I'm Paul Caffrey.
And this is the God Talk programme for the next half hour on 90.3 Near FM, where we'll be grappling with the big questions of life from a biblical perspective.
Our text number is 087 979 5454. And we'd love to hear from you either during the programme or any time during the week.
There you go, day or night, 24/7. And greetings go out to Ursula Byrne and Ursula O'Farrell. It's a night for Ursulas, isn't it? Or a
yes,
day for
is.
Ursulas.
Mm-hmm.
And also to Billy Jago and Mick O'Brien. And thanks also to our backroom staff here at Near FM, Gary and Paul, for your Trojan work.
And I send greetings to Janie and Des and all the Monday night crew. They know who they are.
And Paul, we're going to follow on from the theme of the resurrection we were talking about last week. And why is the resurrection important?
Okay, well, gosh, that's a big question. I suppose we're still, the reason we started
I love throwing
this,
big
yeah,
ones
Yeah, I know,
at
and
you.
We do say that we're doing big questions. So yeah. This is probably, it is the biggest of all, because I suppose it accounts for the existence of Christianity as a faith. I mean, Judaism is based, if you think of it, on the revelation to Moses and the Hebrew prophets and mm-hmm. so on, and their expectation of a Messiah. Buddhism is the teaching of the Buddha, you know, Islam on the teaching of Muhammad and so on. And Christianity isn't just so much the teaching of Jesus, which would be just a kind of, it would be a philosophy. In other words, if Jesus hadn't risen from the dead, what we would have would be a set of ethical teachings, and they're very good ones. We'd have the Sermon on the Mount, we'd have the Gospels, but they would stop at his death, really.
Yeah, well, hold on a second, Paul. A lot of people, that's what Christianity is for them. It is just a set of teachings.
Sure.
And I've so often heard this, that's, oh, I go by the Sermon on the Mount, people would say.
Yeah.
And the kind of full stop, that's the beginning, middle and end of their spirituality.
Well, if they did that, they'd be doing a lot better than most of us are doing. And in many respects, the Sermon on the Mount, you could say, is a profound, it's like Judaism plus, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's because it was speaking to the Jews and it was telling them they needed to be better than the Pharisees.
Right, yeah.
And it was going to the heart of the matter. In other words, that Christianity or that even Judaism, the heart of it wasn't simply following the laws and the rules, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, and so on like that. But it was going beyond that, which in fact the prophets, in many respects, the Sermon on the Mount, picks up a lot of the themes and the teaching of the Old Testament prophets. But that's another story altogether.
Yeah.
I suppose what I'm saying is that if Jesus hadn't risen from the dead, he would be listed as one of a number of teachers, simply ethical teachers. And as you rightly say, for lots and lots of people, that's what he is. For Christians, however, the whole thing changes with the resurrection. I always remember a number of years ago, I was in France with a pal of mine, Des Ryan, and we were on Easter Sunday morning going to church and driving along in the car past the vineyards around the Bordeaux area.
Yeah.
Des says to me, well, why is the resurrection important? And, you know, the funny thing is I can't remember exactly what I said, but it really set me thinking, because I don't think I'd ever given it the sort of thought that I should have given it up until then point. Because, in fact, the resurrection is the good news. It is the gospel that Jesus is raised from the dead.
But yet so much focus is on the passion and the suffering of Jesus and the cross and the trials and all this kind of stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's missing the life when it's missing the resurrection. And as well, Jesus' messages, weren't they some way validated by the resurrection?
They were validated, yes, of course. Well, it validates everything, all his claims to be who he said he was, and all that we claim him to be, that he is really the Son of God raised from the dead, and that death couldn't keep him down, basically. In other words, that he triumphed over death.
But I often think, Paul, like, you know, in our materialistic, naturalistic mind frame in the Western world, you know, where everything is so scientific and all this stuff, you know, the idea of a dead man being totally dead, being mm-hmm. buried in a secured tomb, and somehow rising again and eating fish with his friends, you mm-hmm. know. I mean, this is absolutely astonishing stuff, you know.
Mm.
But I find some people, and I used to do this, I suppose, myself in the past, I'd spiritualize the whole thing and I'd just think, oh, well, there must be some mystical meaning out there
mm-hmm.
without grabbing the reality of a body that was dead is now alive.
Yes, and the New Testament accounts, it's interesting when you read them, you have it in the Gospel, the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then, as we said last week, Paul, at the beginning of the first letter to the Corinthians in chapter 15, mm-hmm. says, I deliver to you of first importance what was given over, handed over to me, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and then that he was raised from the dead. And then he lists a number of the people that saw Jesus, including, interestingly, 500 people at one time. He says most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep, some had died. So he was writing about 20 years after the event. I think we said this last week. But there were 500 people had seen Jesus at one particular time. And as you rightly say, you know, he had eaten with them, he had talked with them, he was very important that it was a physical resurrection. And of course, a lot of people don't believe that today.
But there's very options if you kind of look at it logically, you know, about what happened.
Yeah, we had we started on those last week.
We did, yeah.
And the first one was one of the theories is the swoon, that he simply swooned, that Jesus didn't really die. And we made the arguments for that, well, that really, after 6 hours hanging on a cross and so on, he couldn't have survived crucifixion, and the fact that the Roman soldiers didn't break his legs because he was definitely already dead at that point.
They stuck his pear in his side, and blood and water came out.
Blood and water also.
Which is it's something that physically happens to mm-hmm. when somebody dies, the physiological
apparently,
changes.
Apparently, yeah. I remember talking to a doctor about that one time. I'm not sure I got a satisfactory
answer. I heard an amazing thing. At that time of year in the Jewish temple, there would have been a huge amount of animal sacrifice going on. And that out of the side of the temple would have flowed blood and water into mm-hmm. the Kidron Valley. So we can imagine the picture. At one point in Jerusalem, here's this blood and water flowing out of the temple courtyard. And turn your head the other way and look up at Calvary, and there would have been a man there with blood and water flowing out of him.
Yeah, interesting. Interesting parallel. I wonder, is that a deliberate touch on the part of the evangelist? But I suppose the other thing, the argument against the swoon, another one was that the Roman guards could not possibly have been overpowered by someone who was so weakened and half dead. I mean, imagine the state he'd been in, even if he could have swooned and then awoken, and somebody like that couldn't have rolled away the stone.
Yeah, and Joseph of Arimathea, who gave him his tomb, you know, he was a follower of Jesus.
He's
not going to put in a live body into a dead tomb and seal it.
No.
You know, that ain't going to happen.
So that was the first of the five sort of options we looked at. And then the second one was
a conspiracy.
That there was a conspiracy, okay.
A conspiracy from who?
Well, that the disciples made it up, that they got together, they came together and they said, you know, Jesus said he would rise from the dead and he hasn't, so we better get rid of the body, we'll hide the body somewhere and then we'll make up this theory. So they had to deal with getting away the stone, they had to deal with the Roman soldiers, and then they had to make sure that none of the 11 who are left would crack, that not one of them would ever give the game away at any time.
Of course, they would have been found out, wouldn't they?
Yeah. No one has ever confessed that the whole story of the resurrection was a fake or a lie. Nobody has ever owned up to it, and nobody has ever been able to prove that there was a conspiracy.
And more than that, most of them gave their lives on conviction of the resurrection.
Yeah.
Even today, I have to say, there's many people, it's tragic to say it around the world, there's such Christian persecution in many countries that people are giving their lives on the testimony of a risen Jesus under huge pressures. It's more evidence, I believe.
Yeah, there was no motive. The disciples really had no motive for a lie. In fact, they weren't even expecting a resurrection because they didn't believe themselves at first. You remember when the women came back on Easter Sunday morning and they said that the tomb was empty and so on, and it says, the Gospel said, that it seemed to the apostles like foolish tales because, of course, they were women and women weren't regarded as very reliable witnesses in the Jewish scheme of things.
But Jesus picked them as the first evangelists.
They were the very first ones, but they wouldn't have been regarded as. In other words, if you're going to make up a conspiracy, you would have had better authorities than a few women that went along with spices. The other thing, I suppose, the disciples' character was against it. They were simple, they were uneducated men. They weren't the kind of people that could get together and make up a conspiracy that nobody has been able to disprove, if you like, all down through the years.
Yeah.
So there's a lot.
Some famous people, like I know Josh McDowell's one, and I think Lee Strobel, and there's various people who approached this as skeptics, unbelievers, and studied it for the purpose of disproving it and ended up
believers,
you know, convicted of the truth of it. So what other theories could there
be? Okay, another one we mentioned last week was hallucination. In other words, there was kind of a vision or a sort of a ghost, or that they imagined it. In other words, that they so wanted Jesus to be alive that they thought they saw him. Mm. And again, arguments against that, far too many witnesses. Hallucinations really are private, individual, subjective things. You don't get 500 people at one time. Yeah. Again, a hallucination would be maybe for a minute or two. You might say, I'm sure I saw so-and-so, somebody who had died in the street yesterday. But this was something where he appeared a number of different times. I mean, the accounts are very clear. He was with them for 40 days, talking to them about the kingdom of God, eating and drinking with them, giving them further teaching and so on.
But the thing I love in the Acts of the Apostles is the continuum. You have in the Gospels the miracles, raising from the dead, all these amazing things happening. And then you have in the Acts of the Apostles, you see the very same, I won't say identical things, but very similar things and astonishing things happening. Peter healing the lame man at the beautiful gate. You see the dead being raised. You see the sick being healed. Mm-hmm. As if the same ministry is going on. And the truth is, that's what was happening by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, but you wouldn't have needed a resurrection for that.
Would you not?
No, you wouldn't. Because, the argument is this, that had Jesus gone, simply died and gone to heaven, he could still have sent his Holy Spirit to the apostles to continue the ministry without a resurrection. So what you say is true, but I don't believe that the resurrection... Hold on a minute.
I'm a street evangelist, and what I say to people on the street sometimes is, why didn't Jesus just say to his followers, I forgive you and go back to heaven? Mm-hmm. And of course I get this blank look back at me as to, I don't know. And the point is, I'm saying that what he did is he went through the cross because he carried our sins. He paid the price for it and then proved that he was who he said he was, that he was God Almighty and the Son of God, that he rose from the dead. And
More than that, because the Father raised him from the dead as the proof, in other words, the vindication that the sacrifice had been accepted. And I mentioned to you earlier on when we were chatting about this story that Martin Lloyd-Jones used in one of his sermons. It was talking about the Day of Atonement in the Old Testament, when one day a year, when the high priest went in on behalf of the people, in behind the veil with the blood. One guy once a year went into that place, the Holy of Holies,
the
most holy place.
And tell us about these bells he had.
Well, you know that on the bottom of his garment, on the bottom of his robes, he had these little bells, tiny little bells that made a sound. So he was inside there and the people were outside waiting. And they were wondering, will he come out? Because if he doesn't come out, it means that God hasn't forgiven our sins. Our sins are not covered. Our sacrifice is not accepted if the high priest doesn't come out. Because it was a holy place. Mm. They were terrified to go in. Yeah. And then they listened outside and then they heard the little bells ringing at the bottom of his cloak. And then they said, he's still alive. He's coming out. The sacrifice is accepted. We're good for another year.
That was Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement.
Yeah, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement.
Yeah.
Which we read about in the book of Leviticus. Now, the thing is that, in a sense, Jesus' resurrection was a little bit like that. He was coming out from among the dead, and it was saying, God the Father was saying to us, the sacrifice is accepted. Mm. You are forgiven. But interestingly, it says in Romans chapter 4, he was raised for our justification.
So it was like an absolute divine rubber stamp from the Father in heaven saying, approved.
Approved, you know. Yeah. But it was so much more than that, and we can come back to that again if you like. But to go back to the hallucination thing, as I said, too many witnesses, and the gospel accounts place, and Paul's account in 1 Corinthians place huge emphasis on eyewitness accounts, and many of the witnesses were still alive. And the disciples, because they didn't expect or even believe in a resurrection. Mm. So, I mean, they weren't going to be, making it up or hallucinating. And then the last of the options that we would, as Christians, reject would be that it was a myth. In other words, that Jesus didn't physically rise from the dead, okay?
Right.
It's a bit like what I was saying to you, that for the things that happen in the book of Acts, say the miracles and so on, theoretically, that could have happened without a physical resurrection of Jesus.
Right.
So there are those who would say today, and there are people who are church-going Christians or whatever, let's call them that in the broadest possible sense, and they would say that Jesus didn't, we don't need to believe that he really rose from the dead, that the resurrection accounts were the apostles' way of saying, and the early church's way of saying, that Jesus' influence still lives on. And they did it by telling a story that they didn't expect people to literally believe. So it was there saying Jesus is still working, he's still powerful, he's still in some sense alive. Yeah. And the passage that you read last week by the
by the eminent bishop,
by the bishop, was really a little bit on those kind of lines. He was saying, "I don't know what actually happened, but something happened at Easter." And for a lot of people, that's a myth. In other words, Jesus is alive; he's in heaven in a spiritual sense, much the way lots of people believe. They don't believe in a physical, the resurrection of the dead. And that's another day's work for us.
Paul, listen, the body is good, according to Genesis 1. You know, God, mankind was made in God's image. Out of the dust of the ground, God formed mankind and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. It was the crown of his creation. God said it was very good at the end of the week, you know. And tell me about how the body is viewed in death.
Okay, how does that connect with the resurrection? What's the relevance of that? Somebody, listener, might say, well, what are you going back to Genesis? What's all this? Well, here's how it connects. For a lot of people, they think salvation that God offers us is really fundamentally about our souls, saving our souls. So when you die, as you know, lots of people today don't believe there's anything after death. Mm. But lots of people, and even lots of Christians, I dare say, they think it's mainly that the body goes into the ground, dies, finished, end of story, like a discarded envelope or a package or kind of thing that you throw out.
The spirit floats up.
And the spirit goes up and goes on, lives on in heaven, someplace up there for eternity with God, with Jesus.
And that's, and the body stays forever rotted in the earth.
So they believe essentially that is the gospel. Our sins are forgiven and we go to heaven when we die. Yeah. However, the New Testament and the resurrection is an incredible, a really powerful validation of God's view of the human body. Because when God made man, he made him body, soul and spirit. So the physical was terribly important. It's the highest point of God's creation, the most wonderful thing that he made, the high point. Yeah. And that when he became man, even the fact that he was prepared to take a body himself, and that then that body was resurrected in a new and somehow transformed, we don't know exactly how. In many ways, the body of Jesus was different, was glorified, was more wonderful.
It was different because he appeared, like at times he walked through walls and closed doors. He was able to do things that a physical man can't.
He could do the kind of things that we sometimes dream about doing. There's science fiction we could do. And the fairy tales. And maybe those are good dreams about a glorious state that's ahead. But it's physical. It is a real body.
But I also love the bit where they say, oh gosh, there's a ghost, and then he goes and eats the fish with them. You know what I mean? So it's like he's proven that he's
he eats with them, and it's really important. And he says to Thomas, "Touch, you know, put your finger there in my side, touch my hands." And then he said to them, "A ghost." He says, "A ghost doesn't have flesh and bones as I have. A ghost doesn't eat. A ghost doesn't drink." So he was very careful that this was real. That was a real physical body. And the scripture talks about Christ as the first fruits of the dead. Okay. Yeah. Now we used Eugene Peterson's version.
He did quite well.
The message last week, and we put this up on our blurb, in fact, on the podcast last week. It says the truth is that Christ has been raised up, the first in a long legacy of those who are going to leave the cemeteries. Mm. So it's saying he is the first of a whole new line of people that are going to be raised. He's the first one raised from the dead.
Yeah.
And that's God's way of saying the body is important. Yeah. And so it's not just discarded at death. It's not something to be burnt or something to be thrown away. It's something to be reverenced, and it's something to be buried with decency and with honour, with a view to a resurrection. And that's why the scripture uses the term, they fell asleep.
Oh, yeah.
They fell asleep. Because sleep is temporary and it's rest, and with a view to awakening.
But, you know, when you're dreaming and you're in this kind of strange dream world, and then you wake up, you kind of wake up into a reality. Okay, so there's a contrast between a kind of a slightly less than real world and a real world. And I love the picture that Jesus said that they fell asleep in Christ, you know, because it's like this world that we're in, which looks very real, very material. We can touch it and feel it and smell it and live it and all this stuff. But this is like the dream compared to the reality of waking up in eternity.
Yeah, and there's resurrection life that he says, whoever believes in me, I will raise him up at the last day.
Yeah, right.
And remember, Martha Jesus said to her, your brother will rise. And she said, yes, I know he'll be raised up on the last day.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, no, I'm going to raise him up now. But of course, Lazarus, as we know, died after that.
Wow.
But a survey was done in America, I think a couple of years ago, and they reckon something like 72% of people believed in life after death. some sort of life after death, but only about 37% believe there to be an actual bodily resurrection. It would be an interesting survey. So the next time you're out in the streets, Ant, I suggest to you, you do a survey, ask people, do you believe in life after death? And probably two out of every three people will say yes.
Yeah.
But if you ask them then, do you believe in a bodily resurrection? In other words, we believe that Jesus really rose from the dead. There was a real body there in resurrection that could eat and drink and so on. Okay, it had powers that you and I don't have yet.
Yeah.
But ask them then, do they believe in that? You probably find maybe one in three at most will say they believe in a bodily resurrection. Yet most people say in church, I believe in the resurrection of the body and the life of the world to come.
Well,
it's in the creed.
Paul, you're listening, of course, to God Talk on Near FM. And at any time, you can text in. Our number is 087 979 5454 with your comments. And we're coming near the end of this programme. But before we do have a prayer.
Yeah, and I'm going to, it's not a psalm this time.
All right.
I'm surprising you too.
Breaking tradition, yes.
I'm taking two verses from the end of the letter to the Hebrews, and it refers to the resurrection, and it's a prayer for you and for me and for all our listeners. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, may he equip you with everything good, that you may do his will, working in you that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen.
Wow.
Boy. That's some prayer, isn't it?
That's fantastic. You know, and
the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. Because remember, in his resurrection appearances, he was thinking of the sheep. He said to Peter, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. That was
his last
commission to Peter. He says, I'm going, you're in charge now, you're the shepherd.
Yeah.
He's the great shepherd, and he's watching over us up there.
Yeah, well, he's such a heart for you, dear listener of Near FM. You know, we're here with the God Talk, not just for our own edification, but really to communicate the truth about Jesus Christ, what he did for you, how much he loves you, how he demonstrated his love for you, and how he can save you from the power of sin, the consequence of sin, and get you into this loving relationship with him. So this is Anthony Brabazon. I'm signing off
Paul
for today.
Paul Caffrey signing off for today. And don't forget, we have a we have a repeat program on Thursday morning at
5:30. Well, I'll be asleep, but you're going to be awake for that, aren't you?
I'm awake, yes. I've an early start on Thursday morning, so I probably will listen in early Thursday morning.
Yeah.
So at this Easter time resurrection, you know, in the Eastern churches, the Easter greeting, when people meet at Easter time, one person says Christ is risen, and the other person says he is risen indeed.
Wonderful.
So that's my sign off. Christ is risen indeed.
He's risen indeed. God bless you.